My story begins when my father started out when I was young. He was an addict himself. And at a very young age, my family, my parents divorced. And my mother brought me and my brother John up Catholic in CCD class. And, as a young kid, I didn't really understand anything in the Bible. I went to the classes, but, shortly after I think it was confirmation, basically, it was eighth grade. I started using around that time, and I stopped calling God. I didn't go to church. I didn't go, with my family. I didn't go to some holidays I went, but not really. And then shortly after that, I started using alcohol and marijuana at a very young age to get accepted or feel like I fit in somewhere. And I never really fit in anywhere. And I was always seeking other people. Like, I was good at sports, and I was friends with everybody, but I never found, it was really me that I wasn't in connection with, and I was looking for it in other places. And at a very young age, alcohol and marijuana masked that. And shortly after that, in high school, picked up to using cocaine and heroin, eventually pills. And then shortly after that, in my 20s, I got a job, and I was isolated a lot. And my cousin, who actually stayed clean for a while, he ended up his father ended up getting brain cancer, and he got really depressed, and he started wanting to relapse, and he ended up coming over to my apartment one night and using with me, and he ended up ODing and dying. And shortly after that, I almost was in so much shock, I didn't even realize what had happened. The guilt and shame I felt, I didn't even want to be, let alone go out of my apartment to see people in town. I didn't even want to go around my family. You know, shame and guilt is too much. And I see what it did to my family. It tore my family apart, and it tore me apart, too. And so shortly after that, I went to some secular programs, and I went to a one-month program and a six-month program after that. And I left when I graduated, and I thought I was all right. I told myself, I'm good, I'm going to leave, and I'll do all right. And shortly after that, I stayed clean for about a month, but shortly after that, I relapsed. And then I called out to my mother, and I told her, I need help. I know I need something more. And she found out through a coworker about TLC. And I called George. Me and my mom called George, and, he let us come in. And, without anything with finances, he wasn't worried about the money or anything. He let me come in. He said, just come in and we'll figure it out. But shortly after that, they talk about seeing Christ in others. And when I went to TLC, I could see that in certain people. I could see the love of Christ through others there, through mentors and through advisors there. And, it intrigued me. I was at such a desperate place that Mark, one of the teachers there, he did a sermon on desperate times called For Desperate Measures. And I came in such despair that I didn't know anything about the Bible. I eventually opened it up, and I started seeing God speaking through scripture, through wildlife, through animals. At times I prayed, and I could see him through, a bear came at dinner one night, and I saw it as a sign from God. I prayed over that day, and just certain things started happening, just through people, especially more than anything. I've seen it through people like Patrick, who's here with us, and other mentors in the program. But it's just it's truly amazing. When I take my will back, he keeps showing me it's not I used to think of God as like a punishing God, but he's there to discipline us, and I see that now. And everything that I've done in my past was because of me. It wasn't because of him or anybody else. And when I started realizing that is when it started opening up my eyes to how I want to be better and be different, in a better way. And the things I was doing in my past were all wrong, and it was all because of me. It wasn't because of him or anybody else. And now I see that, and it's just a beautiful thing. I've been there 13 months at TLC, and there's no longer trying to change. 13 was when I started using, and it's been 17 years. When I came in, it was 17 years of use, on and off. But this is the longest I've been clean, and I don't plan on going back to it ever. And it's all due to God. Without Him, I would be nothing. And, you know, when I start taking my will back, like I said, when I start messing up, and He took the shame and the guilt back in early April, He took it from me. He literally took it off my shoulders and took the burden off of me. But that's not to say I don't have other things I'm dealing with now. You know, everybody thinks that, you know, once you become Christian or once you get saved, they think it's going to be all peace and cream, everything's going to be good, but it's not. It's just how life is. But I know that when I am truly seeking Him and focused on Him, this everything else falls into place. And, you know, it's just a beautiful thing. And that's why I'm still here, because I still need to grow. We all grow each and every day. And like one of my fellow brothers here, Jimmy, says, when you think you know everything is when you know nothing. And, we all just got to be teachable, you know? So, yeah, TOC definitely helped me to, you know, not complicate everything. It helps simplify things, you know? It takes you out of the chaos that I was in and makes you truly see, like, deep down who you are. And it's who we are as a kid. I actually had to take it back to who I was as a child. The innocence that I had as a child. We all, you know, do things wrong. We all fall short of God, but we got to take it back and realize that we all deep down are good people inside, and He truly loves all of us. So it is a good thing. And TLC, you know, I said it before, it's one of the best places on earth, and it truly is. And it's all due to God. Glory to God. Every day, TLC is a godly mountain, and it's ran by God, and it's just a beautiful thing. But now I truly have hope, and it's all through Him. It's not through me. And that's when I realize that each and every day that I got to get up and surrender to Him is when it truly settles in and takes me back to realize who I truly am. It's who I am in Christ. It's not who I am. It's all because of Him. But it's a beautiful day. I'm going to let you guys go, but one of these guys can go ahead and share me.
Thank you, Rick. We have a couple of more testimonies, but obviously this is midway in our service, and what we want to do is to stand and sing our hymn and then give the children an opportunity to go to junior church. I'm sure they're looking forward to that. So let's do that, and then we'll come back and listen to Jimmy and, Evan. Jimmy and Evan, and then George is going to come and give a report. Let's stand and sing 275, Because He Lives. Just the first stanza, okay? 275.
Thank you.
back to our seats. We'll sing the last hymn, the last stanza of the hymn, and we'll turn it back over to the men from TLC. 275, If You Lost Your Place, the last stanza. And then one day, with that, you may be seated. And I want to turn it back over again to the men of TLC. Let me put this, we could place that up there so we could record what we are hearing. Thank you.
All right. This one?
Just put it right there on that stand, real quick.
Oh, okay. Hello, my name is Evan. I've been at TLC for about 7 months, I've been here for about 7 months, and that's when my life has just, I feel like, began. I reached a point in my life where I thought I couldn't love, I couldn't care for myself, my family, anybody at all, and I had no hope for the next day or anything at all. But as soon as I felt the Holy Spirit, I knew that there was a reason that I was alive. And it wasn't until I came to TLC that I realized that where to begin. I can say what I've been focusing on now is Philippians 1:6, where God has begun a good work in me, and He's going to bring it to completion. I couldn't go through my days. I didn't know who I was, but now I have a reason. It wasn't until I knew that God's here. I can't really explain it, but it's just an overwhelming feeling. I didn't know who I was and what I was doing, but when I wake up and have delight in the Lord, I know that there's a reason for my day. I'm going to be doing something. I'm going to be nice to somebody. I'm going to do something good, and that's all that really matters to me now. My family sees a big difference in me. Some people go to TLC and leave after 6 months. I chose to stay because I know that's where I need to be right now. I'm not, complete in my journey on, where I want to go. For me, it's just begun. I have a lot of options. I want to go to school, there's so many options out there when I think about it. I used to think, you just find a job and you work and you live and you die, but there's a whole nother purpose now. I want to make people happy. I want to smile throughout the day. It's just, there's so much out there to do, and I used to think there was no meaning for anything, and I don't know, I just wake up today and I look out and I see the sun rising and I'm happy because of it. And, you know, it's because of God. God, thank God, you know, that I found Him. When I was in seventh grade, they put me in Catholic school because I was the bad kid in public school. So, you know, I didn't, you know, build any relationship with God at all. Then, you know, I was just about to get kicked out of there. So, you know, when I came to TLC, they said it's about a relationship. It's not about rules. It's not about God telling you what to do. It's just like a relationship with a person, you know? It makes you happy. There's something there. There's a connection up there. And, you know, He does stuff for me that, you know, people can't do. And it gives me hope. And, you know, I used to think that it was either just me alone in the world and I gotta figure it out, or there's nothing and there's no reason. And now I have a reason. You know, there's a connection there that when I don't think I can make it throughout the day, He's right there telling me that I can. And, I'm just ever so grateful that I've found that connection, and I'm working on it every day. The devil tries to come in my mind and mess up everything every single day, but I'm working towards, you know, a better connection to where I can find something positive, you know, instead of whatever negative thought that just went in my head. It goes towards something positive now, and I find that now that I practice that, I have better days, I'm a more happy person. I didn't know what happiness was. I thought I'd got rid of it and it wasn't gonna come back. But, now I can fight off the devil and I can find God. And it wasn't until I found TLC that I could do that. So I just thank you for hearing my story.
But as he was talking, I was thinking that his testimony fit perfect with the song, "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow." And you come to know Him, you can face tomorrow. Thank you, Evan. Appreciate
that.
Brother Jimmy.
How you doing? Good morning. I'm Jimmy. I'm 31. I'm from New Jersey, a small little country town in northern Jersey. Grew up with a big family, three sisters, chaos every day.
Three sisters?
Yeah. You feel my pain. But I can remember before drugs ever came around, just a feeling of being incomplete, no matter what. You know, I was good at sports, I always had friends, but there was always something missing. It was like you could be in a house full of 15, 20 family members and still feel like by yourself. It was a feeling I could never understand. And my mom forced us to go to CCD. Her reasoning was, I want you to get married in a Catholic church. I'm thinking in my head, I'm 8 years old, you're worried about me getting married? So I never retained anything. And, you know, down the line of trying to find things to fit in, whether it was jobs, relationships, cars, anything, I always needed more. So eventually, you know, leads to drinking and then that leads to drugs. And that got me to a place to where I was hopeless and I was desperate for a change. I tried every other way, my way, didn't work. I knew of TLC through, a family member went through TLC, so, I came to TLC and that, if anything, showed me how important community is. How important it is to have people around you, because, you know, you could sit there and they could teach you everything in the Bible, but the real change is with the other guys in the program and the staff, because that's where the real growth is. And you know, in every day I struggle, you know, but I'm starting to learn that it's a choice. I have a choice. Before I felt like a slave, now I have a choice to choose life or death. And you know, I look forward to the future. There's a lot of people behind me that need a bed, that need help. They need someone to show them what someone showed me. So, and I just want to thank everyone here for praying for us. You know, keep us in your prayers, because it's a struggle and we need all the help we can get. So I just want to thank you.
Kirk, we've heard, you know, shame, guilt, I think we could all relate to that. Drugs or alcohol may not be in our lives, but I think we can relate to shame and guilt. I know for me, I came to a place where I was doing enough drugs at once to make my heart stop. I didn't use a rope or a knife to commit suicide, but I was using drugs. I was suicidal at one point in my life, you know. And you know, after all these years, after I came to TLC, I found Jesus Christ there, and He is my Lord and Savior. I am a born again Christian. Just want to let you guys know that. You know, I've been a believer since January 2001, and I set on the journey to get trained and get an education and really understand this thing called addiction from a biblical perspective. What does this mean? How do we handle this? How does somebody tell me to don't go to bed angry because the Bible says so? How am I going to do that? And you know what? I'll come and do 12 months of TLC, but then what? Those were my questions that I was asking. I set out to try at least to have some kind of an understanding. And this is what I come to, the conclusion that I come to. There's a false core belief that we operate under when we come to TLC. I'm not worth it. What's that it? What am I not worth it? Not worth living. I'm not loved. I do everything wrong. There's a false core belief that we believe, right? And we try to help the guys understand that that is a false core belief. Replace it with the truth of God. What does the scripture say? Who does Jesus think we are? Who does God say we are? That's who we are. That false core belief that you're not worth it, you are worth it. You're a child of God. And also, an identity. For me, I was a drug addict. I was a drug dealer. And a waiter. That doesn't define me. That's not who I am. So there's no identity. So we want to help them identify who they are in Jesus Christ. Purpose. What is my purpose? What am I doing here? How can I help? How can I give back? What is my purpose here? And third, community. Being plugged in with the Christian body. Being plugged in with other like-minded people. Identity, purpose, and community. Those are the three things that we try to help the guys at Transformation Life Center. I get about 100 phone calls a month. I do all the intakes. 25 of them are serious to come to Transformation Life Center. So at the end of the year, I've tallied this. I got 1,200 phone calls. 300 of them were for people that wanted to come to Transformation Life Center. 50 made it to TLC. The other 250, it breaks down like this. 100 slipped through the cracks. I don't know exactly what happened. They just never got back to me. 150 were serious. They wanted help. There's a lot of serious people who want help out there, but just can't find it. But we're not a medical facility. So I asked them to go get detox. And it doesn't matter where they are in the country. I asked them to find their local detox and get detox. And they've done that. And because each detox and each medical facility and each hospital has their own referral systems, that's where they go. They don't come back to TLC. So one of the things that we're setting out to do is open up a medical facility, open up a detox center. That's something that we're looking to do. Get the front end and help people come into Transformation Life Center. We're a long-term 6 to 18 month program. And it's Bible-based. We have a licensed social worker, we have a licensed clinician, master levels counselors. So we try to help the guys from, you know, a biblical perspective at credentialed professionals. Also, we are looking to start a teaching site. And from an accredited college, we're working on that as well as part of the aftercare. We've had 28 graduations since last year. And we're really proud of that. You know, the shepherd goes after the one. And this is what this ministry is about. It's about the one person. And that one person, a whole army could rise behind that one person. And I truly believe that because that's what God's doing. He's raising, if we could touch one person's heart, you know, what a blessing that is. And that's what we're doing, one man at a time. I want to thank you for supporting us all these years. I was in the program while you were supporting me. And I want to thank you. I appreciate that for praying for me personally, supporting us for me personally, and for the men today And as executive director 17 years later, thank you for all your support, all your prayers. And it's a blessing to be here, and I'm honored to be invited here. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, George. We started supporting TLC back in 1989. I first met the director, who was Jerry Corella. Him and I, we had a lot in common. We both had a Roman Catholic background. Both were told we had to get married to Catholic Church. Was it Jenny? Anyway, the men, I'll never forget when the men first came here for our church back in those days. There was a lot of work to do around here. And they pitched in and they helped, and we had a luncheon and we just had a great time. And we started doing that for a number of years and really enjoyed that, enjoyed the fellowship and got to know what the ministry of TLC does. I'd like you to take your Bible, and I know some of you are in fear and trepidation that Pastor stepped into the pulpit at 11:50, and you know that I usually preach 40 minutes, but I will not. I promise to get you out of here no later than 10 after, okay? All right, but I want you to take your Bible and go to 2 Corinthians, it is. And I picked this passage to read because it fits well with TLC Sunday. It is a passage of what these men spoke about, how the Lord can give you a new life. He's given me a new life. Although I did not suffer from addiction, I had other problems, you know. And the Lord is still working on me. And I trust that you're saved and still working on you. Because if you think you have arrived, well, beware. Amen? Take heed, lest you fall. There's a lot more God can change in our lives that we might glorify Him. Paul wrote to the church of Corinth, and in the 17th verse he says, therefore, and whenever we see therefore, we have to look and see what it is therefore. Okay? And all that Paul has written about, culminates in the fact that Christ can change your life, can change your life forever. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, are you in Christ today? Do you know absolutely for sure if you die, you go to heaven, that you have come to a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus? I like how these men said it. They come to TLC and they find out. Well, it's not about religion, is it? It's about having a relationship with God the Father. And the only way you can have that relationship is through who? Jesus Christ. So I don't know if I believe that. Well, go to John 14:6. You know, I don't want you to believe me. I want you to believe the Bible. Amen? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if you're here trying to get to God any other way, it's not going to work. You're not going to have hope without Christ. But in Christ, you have all the hope you need. Amen? That was the testimonies you heard today. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature, or a new creation. I love this. Old things are passed away. Amen? They're under the blood. Amen. Have you done some things in your life you're not too happy about, too proud of? Well, guess what? God can wash them away through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? He'll never bring them up to charge you to your account because they were placed on the cross with the person of God's only begotten Son. He will remember your sin no more. The problem is we remember them, right? We drag them back out, don't we? If He's made you a new creature, be happy you're a new creature. You're a new creature. You're a new creation. Old things are passed away, behold, all things will become new. And all things are God who has, key word there, reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. You could not reconcile yourself to God. None of the good works that you do could ever reconcile yourself to God. There's only one person who could bridge the gap between God and humanity. And that's the person of Jesus Christ. That's the person God has saved. That there is no mediator between God and man except the man, Christ Jesus. I was brought up in an institution where the priest was the mediator. So I found out there's only one mediator. His name is Jesus. And that I could not have a relationship with God the Father
apart from Jesus Christ. I knew of Jesus Christ, but I didn't know him personally. And I had a fear of God. It was an unhealthy fear because I was not properly related to God the Father, because I had not given my sin over to the Lord Jesus. So how do I do that? How do I give of my sin? You acknowledge you are a sinner, amen? For all sin, simple little verse, if he sits, Romans 3:23, all sin come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You must surrender. Say, God, I'm a holy. I missed your holy standard. Forgive me. I have violated your holiness. And I accept that Jesus took my place and took the wrath that I deserve for my unholiness and my unrighteousness. And thereby you'll be reconciled. And he has given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ. Jesus is God. Bible tells us God was in Christ, and Christ was in God, and the Holy Spirit as well. And if you get saved, you're in Christ, amen? And if you're in Christ, you're in God. He was reconciled the world to himself, not imputing, that is, to put to one's account their trespasses. I didn't make this up. The Bible says God will never put on your account any sin, because all of your sin has been paid by Christ. Now, does that give you a license to go out and just do whatever you want? Go out there and, you know, party on. Well, I've often said this, and the preacher that preached to me many years said it, and I got it from him, and I found out it is very true that the most miserable people in the world are not unsaved people. Guess who they are? They're Christian people who have spurned the love of God, and they have walked away from his protective canopy. And God has made them most miserable. He'll never make them happy until they repent and come back into him. Because God has given you a license to go out and sin and to place uncounted number of sin upon his son. We should never take our sin lightly. But he does not impute your trespasses, and he has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, because of all of that, if you're saved, we are what? Ambassadors. And that's what these men were today. And Brother George, ambassadors for Christ. Isn't that wonderful to know that you can work for God? You can be in the kingdom of the king, and you can serve him. Now I want to conclude with just a few thoughts. We left off in our own study last week in 1 John chapter 3. I wasn't able to complete through the verse 18. Now, I'm doing this only because as I read it and reread it, the Lord laid on my heart that this little tiny section of Scripture fits perfectly well with what we're doing today. So I want you to go there, and then we will conclude the message. 1 John chapter 3. We're going to pick it up in verse 17 in just a moment. Before I get there, I just want to say that TLC came about in 1982 because of the burden of the compassion and the vision of a pastor. I've gotten to know this pastor down through the years. Kind of really love him. He's a unique guy. He's not only a pastor, he's an evangelist. And that is Pastor Tom Harris. And I know Ada knows of his ministry because she was a member of this church in Manhattan, Manhattan Bible Church. How many years were you there, Ada?
10 years.
10 years. And we were blessed to have one of his members up here. We had another member, I forget who it was, she's not with us now. Anyway. We praise the Lord for his vision. Pastor Tom had a life-changing experience at Word of Life. I was at a conference at Word of Life where he spoke. And he just had us laughing because he met the director of Word of Life, and they got to talking. He goes, this guy, you know, he had a little bit of long hair, reminded me of Jesus. And he took me in a boat and rode over to this island, Word of Life Island. And he goes, there I saw God. And if you ever saw the director of, I forget his name off the top of my head, Jack Wortson. There it is. I slipped there for a minute. Jack Wortson. How many of you have ever seen Dr. Jack Wortson? Yeah. That gray hair, you know? Old Jack. He says, I went over there. First I thought I met Jesus, and then I was introduced to God. But he had a life-changing experience. He submitted his life to Christ in 1968. Transformation Life Center was founded in 1982 for a buck under the covering of Manhattan Bible Church. In 1992, TLC was incorporated, and in 2003, Manhattan Bible Church officially transferred the property to the Transformation Life Center. We've been with them most of that time. Come to know that ministry in West Park as a blessing to many, many men. And I do believe they're starting women's ministry real soon. And keep praying about that. But Pastor Tom had a vision. He had a burden. And he saw a need set out to fill. That takes us to our verse here. I want you all to look at it. But whosoever had this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels, heart of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? You see, John wants us to see we need to put actions to our words. In verse 16, if you back it up there, he says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he, we already talked about this, laid out his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now, the chances are that most of us will never be called to lay down our lives for somebody else. But some men have. And by the way, we honor those men and women who we know as veterans. And we appreciate them and hope that you pray for them. But you know, we may never be called to lay our life down, but God may call us to give, and to give sacrificially, because we know there is a need. This doesn't mean, this verse, that we should give out money indiscriminately to everyone that we see who declares they have a need. We understand there's other passages of Scripture that teach us to work at it. If you're not willing to work, Paul stated, then don't eat. When people are able-bodied and have opportunity to work, but they refuse, we should not enable them in that. But there are men and women who desperately have need. And again, I go back to thinking about our veterans. How many of them are homeless and on the street? And they lay down their lives. And they come back and they're forgotten. We ought to give to help them. We ought to have the compassion to meet these challenges. Just like Pastor Tom Harris saw the need. And actually, if you know the whole story, he actually had people come and stay with him in his own apartment in New York City and minister to them and help them, so they could get on their feet and realize that there needed to be a place where men could go and be bathed in the Word of God and be delivered from the bondage of alcohol and drugs and substances. Now, if Pastor Tom Harris could have that compassion, we can too, amen? And we need to have that kind of compassion. When someone is in legitimate need and we habitually have no compassion on him or her, John says, and beloved, God's not in us. We have no compassion for people who are in need, especially brethren. then how can we say that the love of God is in us? Well, we don't love our brethren. And as we go on further in this passage, John will expound upon that principle. But for this morning, I'd like to use this passage to challenge you to give to a need that was presented to all of us this morning. The need to beat the devil, amen? To beat him at his own game. To introduce men and women to Jesus Christ and let them know they have hope for every tomorrow. That they can be delivered from alcohol, substance abuse, drugs, and any kind of addiction. We often mention the aforementioned habits. We call them habits, but they're sin. But there are many. And the hope that we have to be delivered is in Christ. He can make you that new creature, that new creation. That won't happen if you don't love. I close with this thought. Paul, writing to the church at Galatia, he issued one of the most fundamental principles of Christianity. He said in Galatians chapter 6, the second verse, he said, "Bear ye one another's burdens." And I think if we're honest and we're transparent before God, a lot of times we see people who are addicted to drugs and addicted to some kind of abuse. And we just say that's their problem. And we don't say it all. Well, they got themselves into that mess, right? But as Christians, we're challenged to a higher principle. To bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Jesus Christ taught us and told us that all the Ten Commandments hinge on two. That we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. And we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. And that's the law that Paul is speaking of. That we see the need of our neighbor. And we have compassion. But whosoever hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels, or hearts of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Father, challenge us to bear the burdens of our brothers, our sisters in Christ. And for those in dire need, may we be people of compassion. May we follow the example of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And last, Father, we pray that mercy be upon anyone that might be in our presence who does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. May they know how much you love them today because of the message and the testimonies that they heard. And that you love all of us and desire for all of us to live with you forever. Father, may your Holy Spirit do a work that we cannot do. Get down into the depths of the soul of an individual who may be separated from you, our Father. And may they acknowledge that they are a sinner. May they confess their sin before you and repent, knowing that all of their sin has been placed on Jesus Christ and the cross of Calvary. And he died and rose again from the dead to reconcile them unto you, our holy heavenly Father. Father, may they today cry out in repentance and ask to be saved. And we know that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We thank you for that promise. And we thank you for the deliverance that you give unto sinners. Bless us now as we leave this place in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our songbook. And I think this is an appropriate song to end this service, because sometimes we think we're so unloving that God could never love me. But the fact of the matter is Jesus died for you, just as He died for me. 336 is all about Jesus loves you and me. Just the first thing. Service. Thank you for the ministry of the Transformation Life Center. Thank you for the men who were so courageous to come and to stand before this congregation and speak, Father, boldly of the deliverance that you gave them in Jesus Christ. May it give us hope for those in our lives who are suffering from addiction. May we know today without a doubt there is deliverance in Jesus Christ. Father, bless us now. As we leave this place, for the glory of God, you are Father. Amen.